Book 5, Psalm 107 through 150. Power of the Word. As would be expected from the place it occupies, Book 5 is clearly the Deuteronomy of the Psalms. In it, the history of Israel is reviewed, and the emphasis is continually laid on the Word of God. In Psalm 107, we read, "He sent His Word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions." Psalm 107, verse 20. The word Deuteronomy means a second law, or rather a second giving of the law. It was given in view of the children of Israel having completed the wilderness journey and about to enter Canaan. History repeats itself, and the entering of the earthly Canaan was a type of the heavenly people entering into their possessions in the heavenlies, Ephesians 2:6. Only in recent years has this special truth been recovered and given its proper place in the proclamation of the gospel of the glory, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Indeed, as a whole, Christendom is yet blind to this marvelous inheritance of the saints. The recovery of truth since the days of Luther and the other reformers has been gradual, a step at a time. One of the most precious aspects of truth brought to light has been that of divine healing. "He sent His word and healed them" has been true in these last days of the present age, as well as in the closing years of Israel's wilderness journey. Many have been healed of bodily infirmities through this very verse. There are still those who do not see this truth. One of the common objections to divine healing by honest, sincere Bible students is that it is a kingdom blessing, designed for Israel and to be realized in the next or millennial age only. Such sincere souls are to be respected for their conscience' sake, but they differ from Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles, who continually taught it and practiced the application of the truth of the Lord for the body. Earthly blessings are not in the atonement for the church in this age is another objection to divine healing often urged. To this it may be replied, if Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail had believed that, they would have been there to this day as far as getting divine deliverance is concerned. Paul believed that earthquakes, the opening of prison doors, and in fact anything and everything which glorifies God is provided for in the atonement of Christ on Calvary. So instead of doubting, he and Silas prayed, and the proof that he was correct is seen in the result. The place was shaken, the prison doors opened, and everyone's bands loosed. Acts 16, verses 25 and 26. But it is pretty late in the day now to bring objections to the fact of divine healing, with the testimony of thousands whose word cannot be doubted, giving God the glory for miraculous healing from all manner of sickness and disease. The fact is proven beyond all doubt. But the second giving of the Word of God in this age, the recovery of truth buried during the Dark Ages, if the analogy of history means anything, is full of import as pointing to the end and the Bride of Christ. Because of unbelief, it has been a long journey of centuries, but now the end is near, and again the Bride is making herself ready for translation and the blessed rapture when the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven, and His Bride shall rise to meet Him in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. In this section, Psalm 110 is significant. "The Lord Jehovah said unto my Lord Adoni, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Psalm 110, verse 1. Here is what is called the session or sitting of our Lord Jesus at the right hand of the Father. While seated, He is our high priest and intercessor. When He shall rise up, it will be to conquer His foes. Psalm 110:4. But before He does so, He will descend into the air and receive His bride. This is not stated here because it was a truth revealed to Paul alone. It is for the comfort of the members of that select company from the world, not now recognized by the world, nor by Christendom. To them, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 is one of the most precious passages of Scripture. After they are caught away in resurrection or by translation, the marriage of the Lamb will occur, Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8. Then the Lord will be revealed from heaven and will rule in the midst of His enemies, Psalm 110, verse 2. The Lord, Jehovah, hath sworn and will not repent, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord, Adoni, at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen nations. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Psalm 110, verses 4 through 7. The word Adoni, also translated Lord, always refers to the Lord Jesus as reigning, as seated on his own throne. Now he is seated on his Father's throne, Revelation 3:21, but God has promised him the throne of David, and the promise will be fulfilled in the kingdom age, Luke 1, verses 31 through 33. Psalm 118 is one of the messianic psalms referring to Christ rejected, then glorified. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:22-24. The day referred to is that day when the Lord Jesus, the King of Israel, will have returned in glory and will have been received by the faithful remnant and the converted nation. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Jehovah. Psalm 118:26. This verse is the scripture quoted by our Lord as he wept over Jerusalem and departed from the temple. He said, "Ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Matthew 23:39. He did not say that the nation of the Jews would never see him again, but they would not see him until they had repented, had seen their need of a Savior, and accepted him who suffered as their Messiah. They must feel their need of a Savior before they can have a king. Then will they say, "Blessed is he," etc. That moment awaits fulfillment and will take place when the Lord descends from the sky to deliver Jerusalem, as foretold in Zechariah 14, verses 3 and 4. That scene will end the 7 years of Daniel 9:27. In Book 5 of Psalms is found that most remarkable acrostic Hebrew poem, Psalm 119. Divided into 22 parts, the number of the Hebrew alphabet, each verse begins in the Hebrew language with the same letter of the alphabet. These divisions are indicated in our English version by the key letter at the top of each division, as Aleph, Beth, Gimel, etc., meaning A, B, G, etc., going right through the Hebrew alphabet. Each verse contains two statements corresponding to each other. These are called Hebrew parallelisms. Psalm 119 contains 176 verses, and each verse mentions the Word of God under some aspect of the Word, law, statutes, etc. It is a remarkable poem magnifying the scriptures and showing their power and beauty under 176 different aspects. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 1. Thus the 119th Psalm begins by pointing out who are the happy or blessed, those who walk in the way. This way, we learn from John 14, verse 6, is Christ himself. To walk in him by the power of the Holy Spirit is to have the righteousness of the law fulfilled in us. Romans 8, verse 4. Of course, such are happy or blessed, not because they have the keeping of the law before them, but because their eyes are on the Lord Jesus. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 119:9. The young man spoken of refers to a babe in Christ, one who has not learned to walk in the Spirit. There are two washings for the child of God. One, the washing of regeneration by the blood, done once for all, never to be repeated. And two, the cleansing of the way, or from the wilderness dust and defilement. It is the latter cleansing that is spoken of in verse 9. The Word of God shows the Christian the ways of God, brings a sense of correction for failure to walk in them, and brings in the power through the Holy Spirit to judge self and to walk in the ways of God unto all pleasing to him. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. Psalm 119, verse 130. It giveth understanding, that is, the entrance of the words of Scripture. The Word of God may be very familiar, may be memorized, but it is the entrance that brings in the light and gives the understanding to the simple. The entrance to the heart, to the inner being, is meant here. To all such it becomes the very word of life indeed. So the entire 119th psalm is filled with gems of truth which sparkle and charm far more than any coronet of diamonds on the head of any monarch of earth. Each verse should be meditated upon to get the full beauty and blessing intended. Psalms 124 through 130 form a group called in the titles a song of degrees, or literally a song of ascents. They are supposed to have been chanted as Israel came up to the feasts, but they will be understood and sung with new meaning when Israel, converted and restored to the land, shall again come up to Jerusalem to the feasts, as foretold in Zechariah 14, verses 16 through 21. Not only Israel, but all the nations of the earth shall be represented at the annual celebration of the Feast of the Tabernacles, especially a millennial memorial of God's dealings with Israel and the nations in the then, past, or now, present age. Psalm 139 should be noted as having a hidden reference to the church, the mystical body of Christ. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Psalm 139, verse 16. This interpretation, of course, was hidden from the psalmist himself and is given the child of God today only because of the revelation of the mystery hid from Old Testament saints and revealed through Paul to the church. It is wonderful to see how consistent with itself is the entire Bible. Psalms 146 through 150 close Book 5 and close the Psalter. These last five psalms are an epitome, a summing up of Books 1 through 5, answering to each in order as they are given. These psalms form a Pentateuch of themselves. Each begins and ends with the Hebrew word Hallelujah, or Praise ye the Lord. So the Psalter ends in the cry of victory, a fivefold hallelujah multiplied by two. The hallelujah shout is raised 10 times in these closing psalms, the praise ascending to the God of all grace who has brought his own back to himself. All this is but a hint, a shadow of the glad shout of victory that will soon be given. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, living saints, shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:52. The close of the Psalms reminds one of the last two chapters in the book of Revelation, where everything is brought out just right, where wrong is forever overthrown, and where heaven and earth are again united in ascriptions of praise to our Redeemer, who by his own blood paid the awful price that has set us free. Psalm 150, the closing psalm, is one grand finale in the chorus of heavenly praise, the orchestra of glory joining in the harmony, and every creature in heaven and on earth coming in on the chorus of praise. The last words heard ringing back from earth and sky are, Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 150, verse 6.